Good evening, and welcome to What a World Radio. Celebrating diversity and loving it, this is Nevin Campanella, bringing you a radio talk show that has no limits and bows to no one. From this microphone, we bring you guests who will lead you across those shadowy plains of forbidden knowledge. And tonight's radio adventure will be brought to us by Lori Conrad, who will give us some insight into the quiet world of animals and plants. Lori, by the way, also happens to be a divine healer. We will get to that in a little bit. First, I'm going to cover some news. Will we have call-ins tonight? Absolutely not. Don't need them. I got an extremely important guest on this line, and I've only got 45 minutes of her time. Where are we going to go? Let's get into some comments about what happens at the BBS studio. Folks, if you're going to call into the studio and you're going to say something that you think is important, especially in regards to a show or to a person, if you're not willing to give your name, we're not going to believe you. So don't bother calling us. If you want someone to believe you and you don't want to give your name, call a congressman. Don't call us. We don't need it. Because as far as we're concerned, if you're not willing to stand up and be counted, you're just plain full of horse feathers. All right, onwards and upwards to the news. 3 points, Arizona. Folks, you remember, I guess it was about a year ago, the Minutemen volunteers went down to the borders and actually did a better job than the Border Patrol. They're at it again. I really wasn't sure what was going to happen to that whole volunteer effort, and they never seemed to run out of volunteers. Let me read this to you from the announcement. Minuteman volunteers, concerned about the continual flow of illegal immigrants across the border from Mexico, gathered Saturday with lawn chairs, binoculars, and cell phones for a new month-long campaign aimed at raising public awareness of the issue. A year after their first watch and report operation along the border in southeastern Arizona, members of Minuteman Civil Defense Corps embarked on a much larger effort in the busy migrant smuggling corridor. Wow. I mean, that's a lot, folks. I don't know how they're able to do it. I assume most of these people are retired, because to stay down there for a full month, and this is, you know, this isn't like publicly funded. These people are paying for all of this out of their own pocket. Amazing, and I wish them luck. I also hope and send them a few prayers that no one gets hurt in any of this. And believe me, somebody can always get hurt, because what we're talking about is confrontation on a border. You never know what's going to happen. We are having a change in format. And for the listeners out there, you need to understand that BBS Radio is about to undergo some major, major changes in format. What we are going to do is we're going to start producing shows in what's called an AM or FM format. What does that mean? Well, tonight was the very first time a show came on the air specifically scheduled for about 5 to 6 minutes after the hour. And what's going to happen in the future is that shows will start at that time, and there will be an introduction to the show. Hopefully I'll be able to do live intros where I can do a little news update, a little song and dance, you know, kind of get us rolling and started. But it will be an AM format. Also, in the very near future, there will be commercials. Someone's got to pay for this, folks. So far, this is all privately funded from Don and Doug Newsom. It's coming out of their pocket. But it's got to stop. It's got to change. We got to start bringing some cash in. And this is how we are going to do it. We are Blog-In Broadcasting Service. At BBS Radio, live interactive discussions, as well as taped messages, are offered 7 days a week for your pleasure and enlightenment. Whether the delivery is buoyant or bombastic, All hosts are oriented toward service to others with respect. At bbsradio.com, the word COM stands for compassion. Spread the word. Now, if you have been listening at the top of the hour, you heard me say that at the very beginning. You're going to hear that little promo quite a bit. One little thing I want to add to that did not get into the promo, but I really like it. And my wife Jill came up with it. It is COM, C-A-L-M, hyphen passion. Think about that, folks. COM, passion. I love that idea. And tonight's guest, Lori Conrad, is a clairvoyant and a divine healer and is on the immediate response team of the Distant Healing Network. I've got to ask her about that one. I've never heard that before. Her perception, filtered through musician senses and a healer's instincts, reveals a charmed dimension of understanding as she gradually begins to realize that animals and plants are truly capable of communication and spirituality. Hi, Lori. Welcome to What a World Radio.
Hi, Nevin.
And what kind of day have you had today, Lori?
Oh, it was beautiful here in Ithaca. Just a beautiful day, and I was out raking leaves and doing some music.
Raking leaves in Ithaca. You know, I have some friends that, live fairly close to Ithaca, New York, and usually they have an immense amount of snow all the time. But I guess you don't have any snow on the ground anymore?
Not today.
We have been living in rain. I've been in California for approximately 14 days, and we've had 13 days of rain. I'm still waiting for sunny California. I'm starting to get soggy. All right, Lori, before we get involved in the spirituality issues, I'd like to know, and so would the audience, how did you get started in all this? I mean, how does a person become, especially given your music background, how did you become involved in spirituality and that kind of issue?
Well, I was born clairvoyant and clairaudient and clairsentient or clairprescient, which means that I can see into other realms. I can occasionally see into the future. I can see into other places on the earth. I can hear from other realms, and I can feel energies coming from beings, not just humans, but animals and plants. I feel it physically.
When did you first realize this? I mean, were you a small child when you came to this kind of realization?
Well, I was. You know, I used to sing along with records when I was a child, and I would see angels listening.
Are you saying that you, when you say see, you mean in your mind's eye? What do you mean by see, Lori?
Well, there are several different types of clairvoyance. That's a good question. There is a kind of clairvoyance which is like a little movie in my mind. But there's another kind of clairvoyance that I have all the time, and that is just with my eyes open, just looking into the world. And I actually see through this dimension into other dimensions.
That had to be a difficult thing to deal with as a child, wasn't it? I mean, you know, you must have spoken to your parents about it. What did they say?
Well, actually, luckily, I did not. I just thought everyone saw and experienced what I did, so I did not mention it.
I was growing up
in the 50s, and I don't think it would have been, let's say, acceptable.
You accepted it as common knowledge.
Well, I did. It was all that I ever knew.
Well, at some point, were you ever challenged as a young person by what you were doing and saying and experiencing?
Well, I was very, I think, confused might be a good word. For instance, I think it wasn't until I was 29 years old that I learned that I was clairvoyant and clairaudient and clairprescient. I'd never understood those words. And I just thought I was socially inept, basically, because I would be seeing things and hearing things and feeling things from people that they were not saying. They were saying, in fact, sometimes often, the opposite. And when I was with other people, I never knew how they all knew what to talk about. Why weren't they talking about these other feelings that, for me, were tangible? So I just thought I was inept.
Mm. You went through an experience, I think, that a lot of very young children go through. I spent a number of years as a clinical psychologist working with children. You've described a very familiar experience that I've heard before.
Huh.
Lori, you have a recent book out, and you have a few books, but I think your most recent is The Spiritual Life of Animals and Plants. Is that correct? Is that your most recent?
That is, yeah.
If someone wants to get a hold of that book, okay, what do they have to do? Where do they go?
Probably the easiest way is just Amazon.com or BarnesandNobles.com.
And do you have a website?
I do.
Well, why don't you give us the website?
Okay. Nevin, you're kind of fading out.
All right. I'll try a little bit better. How's that?
It's a little better. It sounds very far away. My website is Figaro Books, FigaroBooks.com.
Right. And your web address? Your email address, excuse me.
Email? I don't know if I want to give that out.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine. Sometimes guests, want to do that right away. That's one of the very first.
If they go to my website, they can get me from there.
Ah, that's actually that's what I'm asking. How do they personally get in touch with you?
And people, often they'll contact me for healing or just for advice.
All right, I want to read a. To the audience, this comes from the New Age Journal, and it's commentary on Lori's book. Quote, if you've ever wondered if animals and plants have souls, then you will love reading Lori Conrad's The Spiritual Life of Animals and Plants. Through the eyes and ears of a composer and musician, Conrad weaves wonderful little tales about the plants and animals that she has come to know and loving her life. Well, folks, that's quite a comment. Because we're talking about a subject that is pretty loose. When it comes down to what are people listening to right now, and are they going to believe what someone is saying? When we start if we start talking about the spirituality of humans, well, everybody kind of accepts that, Nodded head, yeah, we have a kind of common understanding, although I don't myself know what it is. But when we start talking about spirituality of animals and plants, we run into a few problems. Historically, we're going to run into a problem simply because of religion. Religion itself, because it just cannot be. However, Lori's certainly not the first one to step in this arena. And I will challenge her a few times this evening in some questions on this. But they'll be light challenges. Lori, you also have some other books. You've got Realms of Light, Meeting with Angels and Other Divine Beings, and We Meet in Dreams. Can you give us a little insight into those three books?
Well, those are scheduled for publication hopefully this year. And they were actually one book that I then divided into three. Many people from the Distant Healing Network, my healees, were having trouble coping with people that had died, their feelings of deep grief and emptiness. And a few of them all at once, I was, emailing them and so forth, and sending healing. And they asked me to write the book. And what it really is my clairvoyant experiences of other realms and people that I know that have gone to other realms, people that I've loved. So the book is really how they appear, how they communicate with us. And I have interviews with other people, and they're not clairvoyant. Most of them are, I've interviewed a police woman and a nurse and housewives. I think it'll be a useful book. I handed it to my neighbor, and he read the manuscript and said it was the best book he had read. He had just lost his wife.
Oh.
Maybe I shouldn't have said that, but in other words, I believe in that it could be of use.
Well, hey, Lori, people need help with this subject. I mean, first of all, for whatever reason in our society, death seems to be a no-no subject. And it's actually, it's only been recently that even in medical schools, doctors are now being taught how to deal with the possibility of death within a family, to talk to the family. And it's been a hidden subject, as opposed to, actually in third world countries, death is much closer to people, and they deal with it in a very family manner. But in our country, people don't want to talk about it. So I think it's great that you are able to put out something to help people. And as a matter of fact, I've got the name of an author on the tip of my tongue. Kubler-Ross wrote a book a number of years ago called On Death and Dying, and that's one of the few books that I'm aware of. And anything that anybody can do in this subject would be great. Lori, one of the most interesting things I've read, and I didn't know existed, is apparently there is some sort of first responder network for...
the Distant Healing Network.
Yeah. Well, tell us about that.
It's actually a wonderful organization. I think now it's probably around 900 healers from all over the world who donate their services just to help people. And we really see miracles all the time. Most of them, I believe, are Reiki, but there are some divine healers in there as well. And it's all done over the Internet mentally. We never meet anyone. Often we don't even have the full name of people, and we'll get back reports that, terminal cancer has been healed, or people have been in accidents, suddenly could just get up and walk and go home. And it really is quite remarkable. And the emergency response team just means that I offered to do a little more than some of the other healers, so I get more cases and the very difficult ones. And I see miracles all the time, every day.
Well, describe that in a little bit more detail, Lori. I don't want to sound stupid here, but for you, this is a matter of fact kind of thing. And for me, it's a real eye-opener. When there's a central place of some sort that you go to and you're given an event, an impossible name, is that how it starts?
Okay. What it is 900 of us healers have signed up. People go to this one website, the Distant Healing Network website. They just give us information, the name, the age, the place, what's wrong with the person, their email if they wish, and then we just send this. Some of us, I guess, do this Reiki technique. I'm not entirely clear what it is, but it is mental. They ask for healing. Some of us are divine healers. We more do prayer, I guess you would call it. And then we communicate with the people who have asked for healing. You see, it's a back and forth thing.
So you do have some sort of contact on email with them or something like that?
We do, if people give their email address. If not, we just send the healing. But people do write back and tell us how they're doing. And as I say, there are miracles all the time. All you have to do is just contact us through this Distant Healing Network website. And they sign you up and they send you to us, and then we work on it.
Is there any kind of peer review or, given my background, I'm going to be thinking in those terms. In other words, you've got people who are going to make contact possibly on email with someone in pain. How do you know that everybody that's on board is... not a manipulator, sociopath, that kind of thing? Is there any way to do that?
Well, being clairvoyant, I would know. I don't think, why would someone write in and do that?
You'd be amazed at what goes on out there in that world. But, you just brought up a concept that I didn't even think about. Of course you would. As a clairvoyant, and all the people who are clairvoyant would know. So maybe the sociopath cannot get through. But believe me, Lori, there are plenty of people who love to create more pain and misery. What I'm thinking now is I've heard a number of times that a group effort at a spiritual level seems to have more of an impact than just one individual. Do you agree with that?
Well, I do. I do believe with that. It's even if you've ever meditated, if you meditate with a group, you'll feel the energy. It expands. It multiplies. What is that called? Dimensionally, it multiplies There's a word for it that I can't think of. Yes, I do. And, you know, we, there are people on the Internet now. I think Barbara Wolf is one of them, where she has a list of thousands of people, and she'll tell us what to think about that day or that week with that same idea, that if we all pray for this one thing or all think about peace or meditate on peace, it will have an effect. I think it does.
Well, I do remember a few years ago, Art Bell on his show did something like that in terms of the weather, where he had people focus on, I can't remember what it was, diverting a hurricane or something of that effect. But it actually did produce a result.
I've had good luck with storms.
Pardon?
I've had good luck with storms. That might sound strange, but I think St. Francis began that. I've read quite a bit on St. Francis. He's a popular saint, of course. And I've just talked to Brother Storm and Brother Wind, and I've seen storms stop.
You know, the people listening right now, some of them are going to say, oh, yeah, right.
Well, they should try it.
Yeah, that's the next question. You brought up something that people could actually do themselves. How would they go about, let's say, terrible storm battering a village, a town, what would they do?
Well, as I say, I follow in the footsteps of St. Francis of Assisi. I did it sort of by accident, but I just went out on my front porch one day, and I just put up my hand, and I said, sent love out through my hands, healing, as I do with people, and just asked the storm to please stop. I said, you know, Brother Storm, you're hurting the flowers, you're hurting the people. Trees were falling down. It was a terrible thing. And it did stop in my little area. And I found out later that there was tremendous damage. So then I learned, oh, I have to talk to a bigger circle here, not just my own little block, but I have to start thinking of the whole town. You learn as you go. You know, if you try any of these things, if you just try it with trust and with love, you'll find out what to do. There really is no handbook, and it's really different for every person. That's been my experience.
I know that there have been, you mentioned handbook. It seems like about every day there's a dozen new, quote, New Age type books that come out that tell you how to be spiritual, et cetera, et cetera. All the way from crystal healing to, actually I saw a, I can't remember where it was, but you can actually get a certificate now in shamanism. You know, why I find that humorous is because shamanism in itself is simply a path chosen by a seeker. It certainly shouldn't be chosen by an authority above the seeker. So it seems a little bit strange to me. Lori, let's get into plants and animals. Now, many people would have a difficult time accepting the concept of animals and plants having a sense of spirituality. So I guess the primary question that I have for you is, how can you actually demonstrate this? I mean, to just say it is one thing, but at some point people are going to say, oh, yeah, right, show me. How would you do that?
Well, that's one reason I wrote the book. These are true stories. They're just stories from my own life. And, of course, some people won't believe them. But in the book, I also talk about other things that any person can do. And actually, the book was the outgrowth. I had a TV show, Path to Spirituality. And I did a show on the spiritual life of animals. And I walked in the bakery, and the woman there said that she had loved the show, and so had her cat. But no, you can't really prove it unless someone tries it or unless they're there with you. But these are true stories. And what I've said, what I've suggested to people is just try what I suggest. I mean, they're true stories, and I take people through my life and what I do. And if they would try what I've done or something of their own along those lines, they'll see the result. For instance, if I'm walking down the street and I'm talking to a dog who's across the street, even about one of the saints or of any religion or about God, often the dog will actually turn his head and look around as though he's seeing something. And anybody could see that.
Yeah, there are a lot of visible signs. And that is one of the questions I'm going to get to in a little bit here. But before we jump into that particular arena, I want to read something off of your website. Quote, people have often asked me about how they can better communicate with their animals. My answer is that clairvoyance is helpful, but not necessary. When I inwardly speak to animals, anyone can see the reaction. Now, that's pretty much what you just said.
Yeah.
Now, what I want to get to, because some of our listening audience is not going to be familiar with terms, could you give us a layman's definition of clairvoyance? What is it?
Well, I think it's a French term, and literally it means clear seeing. And most people, I think that clear seeing means seeing into other realms, which is true, I guess, because most people don't see into other realms. And by other realms, I mean people that are no longer alive in the body. I will see them, and often I will hear what they're saying. But clear seeing at its highest, clairvoyance at its highest, is actually seeing the divine light that is the substratum or behind all these forms that we see. So the highest form of clairvoyance is seeing this divinity. I'm saying that because there are a lot of people who have a form of psychic ability or clairvoyance, and it's easy to get stuck somewhere along the line. So I feel it's important to say that the highest is to see the divine. But other things are you can see into the future. A certain clairvoyance, you can see what's happening in another part of the world. Like, for instance, I could be walking down the street and suddenly I'll be in an earthquake site in Pakistan. So that's a form of clairvoyance, let's say. Or as I say, seeing into other realms. In other words, beings that aren't here, angels that are from another realm, or saints, or people that I've loved that have gone on to other realms. And clairaudience means you can hear. You can hear from other realms or hear beings from other realms.
Is this something that happens spontaneously, or do you kind of like turn it on and off like a radio?
Well, it depends. Some of it is spontaneous and it's not within your control, especially in terms of healing. If someone's in trouble, there are times when I know how to look if I want to, but it's not always allowed either. Where I am in my development is I'm not allowed to tell you your license plate number, which is something I probably could have done when I was younger. Now I'm only really supposed to do it for healing purposes. But that's not true of everyone who's clairvoyant. That's my mission, my destiny, my fate, whatever.
But you know that then. I mean, you know that internally, that at some level, this is what you are, quote, supposed to do.
Yes, I do. It's very clear to me. But that's not true of everyone. And some clairvoyants are here just to tell people that, oh, look, I can tell you your license plate number. Doesn't that tell you something about the nature of time and space and the physical world, what you think is real? So I think it's all good. But for myself, it's really more for healing.
Well, you've set a boundary of some sort. What I'm wondering now is, did you set that boundary on your own, or were you literally told to set that boundary?
I actually was told.
Would you share that with us?
Well, actually, that's what I'm. It's an inner thing. You're right, but I was also told by a physical teacher. He just said, "Look, you have to bring your clairvoyance to a higher level," and that's because when I was younger, I could not control it at all. So I'd be walking down the street, and I'd be in Florida, and I'd be all over the world. And that's no way to live. That's confusing.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I could imagine driving in a car, and all of a sudden, you're somewhere else. Not a good idea.
Well, it's not. So that was the signal, you see. The signal there was I had to bring it to a higher level just to function on Earth. So I guess the signs were all there, and inwardly I immediately knew it was true.
What you state that clairvoyance in itself is not necessary to speak to animals. Let me quote you here. And we can all speak to our pets or birds or squirrels or rabbits or any other creature that we should meet during our journey here on Earth. Okay, if you're not clairvoyant, then, for instance, how do I go about talking? I have a little dog. How do I go about talking to the dog?
Well, what's the problem with the dog?
My particular dog doesn't have any, but I think when you first came on, Don mentioned our mascot, Mickey, and she is just almost hysterical. She barks way too much. She's almost unmanageable. We're talking about a very tiny dog, first of all. I said very small. I don't think the dog weighs 10 pounds. I can't remember what breed it is, but, oh, wait a minute, it's one of those really tiny Dobermans. She is almost hysterical. She will, no matter what sound she hears, she barks, 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 barks. What's wrong?
What I would do, well, what I did actually when I was listening to your hysterical, lovely little dog, and it was a cute little dog, Soprano, I sent healing. So you would just inwardly talk to the dog, basically. If you're not clairvoyant, everything's fine. What's wrong? Just normal conversation.
You mean out loud, as if you were talking to a person.
Well, you could, but I would do it just inwardly. You could do it either way. Inwardly sometimes seems to have a better effect. And then, of course, because I'm a healer, I would ask for healing for the dog, but anybody can ask for healing. I mean, the book, The Spiritual Life of Animals and Plants, is really a little handbook on divine healing for anyone. And I feel we're all capable of it. Basically, you just ask. You ask that the dog be calm, be healed. I have a Catholic background, so I call on the Catholic saints. But whatever spiritual background you have, call on some mystical figure from that background or whatever you call on, whether it's just, if it's God, whatever you call God, if you want to call it the divine power, divine energy, please surround and fill this little dog, please calm this little dog. I find that if you call on a figure, an actual physical figure, they do come. They will always come. If you call on angels, they will come, and I see them, and so does the animal. That's one thing that I share as a clairvoyant. Most animals that I'd say 95% of all animals I've ever met are clairvoyant. So if you call on an angel or a saint or any divine being, they will come. The animal will see them and will react, and let them calm the animal. And it might take time. I mean, it's not always instantaneous. It's an ongoing thing. Then you can inwardly tell the little dog to talk to that divine being or to ask for angels themselves. Ask those beings to talk to the animal. You can still know better what to do, especially if you're not clairvoyant or clairaudient.
Oh, it's hard, Lori. I mean, most of us, you know, for you, it's a very natural thing to say. But to the general audience, you know, some of what you're saying is very difficult to understand. First of all, let me go back to my background as in science. How do I know that we're really talking about communication and spirituality of an animal as opposed to a classic simple response to conditioning? In other words, if I say, for instance, Jasper, do you want to eat? Well, I have said that so many times, the dog starts bouncing around. You know, and so, you know, he hears, and to me, I simply look at it as a conditioning system, which something like you might get out of a parrot. How do I know the difference between that and what you're saying? Because what you're saying goes a lot further than what I just suggested.
Well, healing is love. Divine healing is love, and the real communication between people and animals, since unless you're clairaudient and your dog is clairaudient or a cat, there's not going to be that. your verbal communication is limited to a certain number of words, such as eat and treat and so forth. But the real communication is going to be through the love. And they are also clairprescient, that word I used earlier, where I feel energy physically. I feel energy coming from people as physically as most people feel the table. And animals are like that, too. So if you're feeling, if you come to an animal with fear or with love, they will sense it immediately. And it's a mystical thing for them or a clairprescient thing for them. So if you come with them, towards them with this love or this healing, this wish to heal, for instance, I put my hand within a half inch of wasps, and if I were bitten, I would die probably because I'm very, very allergic. And they will immediately, they feel the love coming from my hand, and they immediately calm down and just sit there.
That's a very risky thing to do.
Well, it is for most people, and I would not suggest that particular thing.
Yeah, I would like to get that out to the audience.
Don't start with a wasp.
Yeah.
Start with something else like your cat. But they do feel the love that you're emanating, and that love is actually the healing energy. And if you just ask for that to come through you to them, they will feel it and get healed. And the same towards people. Same concept.
You mentioned your background. I have the same one, and I left that a long time ago, many, many years back. Catholic background.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm very familiar. I went through 8 years of catechism, so on and so forth as a child. And considering what you're involved in and me knowing fairly well what goes on in Catholicism and doctrine, how do you balance that, Lori? I mean, that's a tough one.
Balance?
I don't know if you're still a practicing Catholic or what, but...
I am, yeah.
Okay, well, if you get into the Catholicism itself, it would start wondering... When you start talking about spirituality of animals and plants and communication, don't you find that being at odds with some Catholic doctrine?
Well, not at all. In fact, the nuns at my church actually saw my TV show on it and loved it.
Ah, okay. Well, maybe we can get some education here.
Well, we're talking about God. We're talking about the divine. We're talking about healing angels. There's nothing anti-Catholic in that. They might object if I said animals had souls.
Yeah.
That's not so important to me. The main thing is how do we communicate with them and does it increase the love on this planet? And I think we would all agree that animals certainly help to increase the love. And if we put our love towards them in this way, then we're adding more love to the planet. Sometimes I think the animals are preventing World War III. And I know that's also a risque, but I think you know what I'm saying.
Yes, I do. I do. As a matter of fact, I'm playing the devil's advocate here because we need to get the information out, and I want to make sure it gets clear. Sometimes talk show hosts have too much of a tendency to just side with the guests and say, oh, yes, 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 yes. And that's why I ask some pointed questions. However, and there's a big however to all this for myself. I have a story to tell you, and it's about my little dog, Jasper. Now, I got to tell you, prior to this experience, if someone said to me spirituality of the dog or the plant or whatever, I would have just, nodded my head in agreement and then walked away thinking, yeah, right. However, one day, we were living in an extremely remote area of New Mexico up in the mountains, and the area we lived in was susceptible to really violent thunder and electrical storms. We had them all the time. Now, I never had a fear. I'm not the kind of person that has a fear of walking in thunderstorms or that kind of thing. I would walk outside, and it never bothered me. I just did it all the time. I just never thought twice about it. Now, one day, the thunder starts crackling, and the wind starts coming up. But it was one of those dry storms, not a drop of rain. But boy, the wind was blowing. You could hear the thunder. The lightning is flashing. And not one drop of rain. Now, my little dog, Jasper, is deathly afraid of thunder. I mean, when the thunder cracks, this dog goes and hides. He shakes. I mean, you can see the fear response. On this one particular day, I was standing on the front step outside our trailer, and I was watching what I thought was the beauty of the storm. My little dog comes bouncing through the screen. He literally bounced through it. He ran down in front of me, and he kept jumping up and down. And I'm thinking, boy, this little dog's going nuts. What does he want? Is he looking for food or what? He started to jump up and kept jumping on me. That little dog pushed me up through the door. Now, I got to ask myself, here's a dog that is deathly afraid of thunder, yet somehow he conquers his own fear because, I know some people are not going to believe me, he conquered his own fear because he had a fear of some sort for me. In other words, I have to put it in anthropomorphic terms, but this, to me, it seemed as if the dog was afraid that I was going to get hurt and literally pushed me back up the stairs and through the door. It was the most amazing things I ever saw. And I got to tell you, at that point in time, my concept of my little dog, Jasper, changed dramatically because I had never seen anything like that before. And I'm sure maybe you have, considering the amount of time that you spend around animals. How do you see that story? Is that an example of the clairvoyant animal, the connection of spirituality?
Oh, I think it's a wonderful story. Yes, I anything for me, spirituality means.
Well, Lori,
love, peace, helping each other.
Love and peace, okay, yeah.
You know. But the stories in my little book are a little different than that. For instance, this isn't in the book, but it would be more along the lines of when I was visiting my friends on Staten Island and their little cat. This little cat kept leaping off the terrace. I mean, he was very active, let's say. Not your spiritual material necessarily. But when I meditated, I would meditate for 45 minutes a day. And about a week later, finally, one of my friends said, you know, it's very interesting. When you meditate, the cat watches you intently. Now, why would a cat watch me just sitting there for 45 minutes outwardly doing nothing?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Well, there has to be a connection. I mean, the cat isn't just going to stare at you, watching you do nothing. You obviously were doing something that the cat was picking up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think the stories in my book are a little more along those lines. But I wrote the book, really, Nevin, because of I saw some terrible shows on late TV about animals in laboratories that I just couldn't get those images out of my head.
Oh, God.
I did a show on my own and on that topic, and they sent me videotapes, and it was so horrifying.
Oh.
So one of the main reasons I wrote the book was because I felt if people felt animals had this spirituality, they'd be less likely to do these terrible things.
Oh, it's awful, Laurie. It really is. There's a whole system of cosmetics out there, folks, that are just torturing rabbits, especially their eyes. I mean, we can go on for this for hours. And unfortunately, Lori, we are a few seconds from out of time. Very quickly, give the audience how to get your book.
Amazon.com, they can just type my name in or the name of the book, The Spiritual Life of Animals and Plants, and it does have a lot about divine healing, and I do believe we are all healers.
Lori, I've got about like 10,000 more questions, and I have no time. Thank you so much for coming on our show today.
I love you, Nevin.
It's a wonderful experience to talk about these. I very rarely have the opportunity to talk about something like this, and I mean, I could dig into this for hours. Well, thank you again, and Lori, I wish you a wonderful evening in front of you, and let's all pray together for our animal friends. Good night, Lori.
Okay. night in heaven. Bye-bye.
And that, folks, ends our Sunday night adventure. Until next time, this is Nevin Campanella wishing all of you health, happiness, and a safe journey on your chosen path. Good night.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.